For WTOP News, this is The Book Report. I'm Tariq King. Stan Zimmerman is a television writer, producer, and director who has written for many television series, including The Golden Girls, Roseanne, and The Gilmore Girls, as well as the 1996 feature film A Very Brady Sequel. He's now gathered his reminiscences from his multi-decade career into this sparkling new memoir just out from Indigo River Publishing. It's called The Girls, From Golden to Gilmore. It's his stories, he says, about all the wonderful women he's worked with and Roseanne. It's a pleasure to have you on The Book Report today, Stan.
Thank you for having me.
What made you decide to write this book at this time?
Actually, I've been talking about it for over 8 years, and I came up with the title because I love a good alliteration, and how cool that I worked on two shows with the girls in it, and G. I always wanted to answer the question, why me and how did I get to write for so many wonderful women? And I thought that was a good question because it's always the first one posed to me, you know, at dinner parties or wherever people meet me and they go, wait, you wrote for who? For what? And I thought maybe through writing it, I would help figure out why.
Well, I'd like to talk about your path to getting there. You started off at NYU, right?
Yes. I thought I would sleep my way to the top, but nobody would have me. So I had to do it the difficult way of actually doing the work and writing. I never thought I would be a writer. I knew I was creative and had great ideas, but I wasn't a reader and I didn't do well in English class. And I kind of in my mind thought, I wish there was somebody I could partner with that had those qualities. And then I met Jim Berg at NYU and we would walk through the streets of New York making each other laugh. And so we brought both of our talents together and started writing TV scripts. We loved television, both as kids. And in between school and then after school jobs, we would write TV sitcoms.
That process for the uninitiated is called writing on spec, right? It's essentially...
Yeah, means you don't get paid. No money involved. You are putting your own time and energy, hoping that one day, please, someone will read one of these scripts and hire you for money.
Name some of the shows that you wrote spec scripts for, whether they were bought or not.
We first started with an original pilot called Good for One Fair, and was kind of loosely based on a movie I saw next to Greenwich Village. And then we also wrote a pilot for Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels. And then we were told, you can't write pilots. The thing that will get you into television is getting a job on staff for a show. So we wrote a spec script for a TV show called Alice that Linda Lavin starred in. We wrote A Facts of Life, believe it or not. We wrote a show called Love, Sydney, which was one of the first shows about a gay man. And then people were reading them and going, they're okay, they're fine. But you really needed to have a script that jumped off the pile because everybody was writing scripts. I was sick of being poor in New York. I moved to LA. My writing partner came out soon after and we couldn't afford to do anything. So we would go to free tapings of TV shows. And we saw this new TV show about a bunch of crazy people that spend their time at a bar in Boston. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody. And that script was the one that just changed everything for us. We went from nobody returning our phone calls to suddenly we were flavors of the week, and all these agents and executives wanted to wine and dine us. And then we got a chance to go in and pitch episodes for a one-time writing assignment on this new show starring four older ladies that live in Miami. Thank you for being a friend. That show and that turned our entire career around.
Let's talk about Golden Girls. Talk about how you landed there.
Our cheer spec got to them. They liked it. They had us come in and pitch episodes. And they hated all of them. And it wasn't until we were walking out of the room and in the doorway, something just came over me and I turned around and said, what if Rose's mother came to visit? And there was a long pause and they said, come sit back down. And what were you thinking? And I didn't know what I was thinking. I just wanted a job. Because I liked those actors, nobody at that time thought it would be a hit show. I mean, conventional wisdom was that America would never tune in regularly to a show with four older ladies. And luckily they did.
Without giving away too much, can you give me 1 to 4 words, no more than 4 words, about your experience with each of them, as I call their names? Let's start with Bea Arthur.
Terrifying, but a pussycat.
Did she ever make you cry? Tell the truth. I read the book and
no.
you didn't write it.
Why would she make me cry? She was, remember, people were on their best behavior. It was the first season. But I think on that show, they knew how lucky they were to be on a hit show at that age, in that climate, with consistently good writing. And I have to say, I've never been on any TV show where every time those actors went on a talk show, they said they gave credit to the writers.
All right, let's keep the free association going.
Okay.
No more than four words. Betty White.
Sweet, but complicated.
Rue McClanahan.
A consummate actor.
The book makes it clear that I think your relationship with the last one was considerably fuller. Estelle Getty.
Mother and friend.
She's the one that you really got close to.
Yes. She just was so warm and just pulled you in and wanted to help you and give you advice. And that's why I use the word mother. She was a mother. And that's why, you know, when she played Harvey's mom in Torch Song Trilogy, it just felt so right. And she was, you know, a mom to her kids, even though she was pushing and striving for a career in off-Broadway theaters, not knowing that one day she would turn into a superstar at that age.
You wrote for the Golden Girls in season one, and you wrote four episodes. Now, these episodes have titles, but I don't think that people really know what the titles of the episodes are, but they would recognize the storyline. You wrote one called Adult Education. Which one was that?
That was the one about Blanche gets propositioned by her teacher, and he would give her a good grade if she would have sex with him. And I thought that was such a powerful story, and unfortunately, it's still a timely story.
And then there was Blanche and the Younger Man. Which one is that?
And that was also called Rose's Mother. And that was Betty White's mother came to visit and she treated her like a little girl. And that was also the episode where Blanche dated her very hot trainer. And so that was pretty cool. We got nominated for a Writers Guild Award for that. And then we only wrote three with our names on it. Of course, when you're on staff, you write on every episode. We also wrote one called The Flu, and that was one where they all got sick at the same time. And that was a really difficult episode to write because usually on a sitcom, you have an A story, which is one character's main story, and then you have a slightly smaller B story, which is usually a secondary character. With this, everybody got sick. So those three ladies all had to have kind of the same story. And so it took a little more time to figure out structurally how to tell that story. But, you know, there's some very funny lines that people still run up to me and quote. And I love that. It's always shocking when young people know lines that I wrote.
Do people immediately start singing the theme song when they learn that you wrote for Golden Girls?
They do not. I'm sure you've heard the many different versions and you've heard the gospel version so that guy that sang it came to the last Golden Con in Chicago. And I was like, I fangirled out on him because I love that version. I love how people make videos lip syncing to it. It's so good.
So now let's turn the page to the second iconic TV show that you've spent some time on. And it's actually in the subtitle to the book, Stories of All the Wonderful Women You've Worked With and Roseanne. What's a sentence that encapsulates the feeling that you get when you look back at that experience?
Oof, proud yet exhausted. Again, it was scary. It was intimidating, I think, more than anything. Because you wanted to be so good, I didn't really think I was a joke writer. And I was on staff with a lot of really funny stand-up comics. And they just open their mouth and these hysterical lines come out of them. Whereas the writing that I do with my writing partner, Jim Berg, we kind of craft the jokes more. So, and it's two people, remember. We're going back and forth, and people that watch us write, it's like a tennis match. Whereas stand-up comics, they just like, boop, all these gems. But I knew we were writing really good material, and, you know, that show is not just jokes. It's really about character, and it's story-driven. And I just love what Roseanne wanted to say and the world that she was depicting and the struggles of a Midwestern family. But still, at the end of the day, no matter what they said to each other, they loved each other.
You wrote one of the episodes that Roseanne fans will never forget. Tell us about that one briefly.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is also called the lesbian kiss episode. That's what it's known as. You know, we really wanted to challenge the Roseanne character, who thought she was liberal and cool, and then suddenly what happened when she kissed a woman and everybody around her and herself kind of freaks out. And people in the United States did, and the network did, which seems so ridiculous now, but it was a huge fight to get that on commercial television and that it wouldn't drive away viewers. I mean, that's what they thought would happen. Think about that. You know, she wasn't like saying, I'm a lesbian. She wasn't, you know, suddenly questioning herself. She just kissed a woman. That was controversial.
Okay, let's turn the page again. Then there's the third show that's in the title, From Golden to Gilmore. So the third iconic show is, of course, The Gilmore Girls. If you're out on the road, what were some creative highlights that you had there that fans of the show would recognize?
What I loved about the show is the grandmother, mother, daughter, the three generational women, which I could relate to because of my grandmother, my mother, my sister. Smart, powerful, educated, verbal women. I just love that. It just was freeing as a writer, and Amy created characters that just talked fast and could go anywhere. So that's really fun to write. I love that there was a town full of weird, quirky people, and so we had so many different characters in that town that we could go to.
After Gilmore Girls and two seasons of a reality show on Bravo, actually, you decided to turn the page yourself and return to what was essentially your first love, live theater. I felt a different energy in the writing of the chapters where you pivot to theater.
Well, it was like coming home. There's so much time wasted on TV series because there's so many levels of people that have to weigh in. And I suddenly didn't have to listen to other people and their opinions of what they thought would be commercial or would work. I could pick the actors I wanted. I could pick the costumes. I could pick the music. I could pick the material. And no one was going to tell me different. You know, I could do what I wanted to do and be as creative as I wanted to be.
Who is this book for? Who would get the most out of this reading experience?
Anybody from 8 to death. Anybody that loves to laugh has watched comedy television in the last, you know, 80 years. Anybody that has a mother, anybody that has struggled at a job and thought, I'm going to get fired, or does get fired, and how do they pick themselves up? You know, it's not just my life and show business, but just survival skills. My, you know, ups and downs and picking yourself up and keep going and rediscovering and keeping life interesting every day, no matter what age you are.
It's a really fun memoir out now from Indigo River Publishing. It's chock full of stories for anyone who loves the world of television, film, and celebrity. It drops more names than the William Morris Agency. Good luck
There
with
you
the
go.
book. The book is The Girls, From Golden to Gilmore. Stan Zimmerman, thank you so much for being with us on the Book Report today.
Thank you for having me.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.